Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is the Material Podcast, episode number 457. I am your host, Florence Ion, and I'm joined here by my partner in podcasting, Andy Anatko.
Yes, named co-conspirator is a good title. I like that.
God bless you. God bless you for holding it down for the last couple of weeks. So Andy is the keeper of my secrets. None of you will ever find out why I was out. I mean, I was out last week because of GDC. I will be honest about that because, God, I forgot how tiring, Andy, it is to just like walk 4 miles a day around a city yes. and like commute on a train. Oh my God, Andy. And then, this was the real bummer. So there are, you know, I get off at Powell Street Station, BART, and I like to climb up the escalator, okay? I don't want to, like, sit and wait. I want to get the exercise going, right? Oof. My thighs were given out a lot sooner than they used to.
Yep.
And the thing is, you have to keep going because it's not like you're at the gym. You can't just like stop and get off and take a rest. There's the cadence of other people behind you who are also like rushing to get out toward the fare gates. And so it's I love that it gets to be a slice of something now and that this is not my everyday. Because I remember what it was like when this was my everyday and it was so hard. It was so hard. I was so tired. I was going to bed at 9.
Yes. No. I don't
go to bed at 9. That's what I mean. I'm so tired. Oh,
God. Yeah. No, I am constantly amazed by like how I could cover conferences like when I was in my early to mid 20s, where it would be like breakfast meeting or briefing or interview like at 7:30, 8, nothing but a full appointment book until 5 or 6, quickly dash back to the hotel room, do 1 hour of writing to post something or excuse me, to file something that needed to be filed that day, then quick change mm-hmm. of clothes, and then off to parties until like midnight or 1. I am not a partier, however. Like at Macworld Expo, for instance, it's one of those rare times where, wow, here is a really hot, happening, hip, like, music club that I am invited to attend, that I could actually get into and dance to. That would be wonderful. And then come back around 1, 2 in the morning, do 3 or 4 hours of writing, and then sleep for 90 minutes, and then start it all over again. And that's like, oh, goodness. I cheer myself by knowing that if the journalism industry, like the tech journalism industry, was the same now as it was in the 90s, at this point, I would be like the editor in chief or an assignment editor who is like handing assignments to the 22, 23 year old. And they're excited. Oh, wow, really? I get to meet with this? You mean that in addition to that, I get to go direct? Oh my God, that's so exciting. And meanwhile, I'm nodding and I'm smiling and I'm thinking, oh, what a sucker. I'm okay, so glad that I'm going to be in my office all day today, having one meeting with like the CEO of Microsoft, and that's it. And then I get
to
go home.
You know what though? I miss that. I miss being that excited over things.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I have to remember to allow the person on the other end to do that, because now I'm reaching a sort of early seniority in the industry, right? So people like come to me for advice and mentorship, and it's wonderful. Like, I'm so happy to be able to provide that in our little ecosystem of the industry. Mm-hmm. But I have to remember not to be the cynic, because right. Inherently I'm a cynic. You all know, you've been listening to me for so long. You know, I'm a very cynical person. And but you can't be cynical when you're mentoring people, especially young journalists, because the industry. So the other day, I know this is a Google podcast, but you can relate to this if you are aging. Okay. So the other day I was on Instagram for my 10 minutes allowed time that I allow myself with my digital well-being timer. See, I follow I follow the newspaper and the magazine at my alumni at my school, alma mater, excuse me. And I follow their social media pages because I want to see what the young kids are doing. And, you know, I want to see how it's going over there. And they published a Instagram reel about burnout. What do you do to take care of yourself? Burning out, like, because I guess they're going into spring break or whatever that's going on right now. And they were talking about the things that they do for self-care. And I left a little comment on there and I was like, I said something along the lines of, I'm so glad you're all taking care of yourselves, learning how to take care of yourselves now, because you're gonna need it to make it through. Gonna need it to make it through this industry. But then I put a heart at the end just to be like, I'm telling you, you know, constructively with all the faith in you in the world, but also telling you like what is really on the other end is hard.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to scare them. I don't want to scare them.
Yeah. Well, but, yeah. I mean, so long as you cultivate an ability to recognize what it is inside you that loves this thing that you decided to do when you were in your teens, and realize that
I was 12 when I decided to become a journalist.
Right, exactly. And I was like 14, 15 when I decided to go. I thought I would be like a computer scientist / programmer who would be writing on the side, and it turned out to be exactly the inverse of that.
Right. Web designer writing on the side.
Right, exactly. Because you can't make a living as a writer. But the key is to recognize that like there is that thing inside you that it's like a drive shaft that you can hook up to all kinds of things, that right out of J school, maybe it is this job that you got that you think is the most wonderful thing in the world. But if you feel 5 years later that you're stuck and this is not what you want to do, that doesn't mean abandoning writing. It means that, okay, I thought that this motor goes inside a car. It turns out it goes inside a boat. Let's put it into a boat. And then maybe it's like, oh, okay, well, actually, you know what? It was a great boat for 10 years. Now I think I want it to be a helicopter. And now you turn into a helicopter. Mm. And I mean, I've had a pretty linear career. However, there have been several times where it's like, oh God, I've never felt totally burned out, but I felt like, why am I doing this? You know, and sarcastically, my inner voice, oh, great. Yeah, we should definitely quit then. Let's go see if a UPS is hiring. And then like, okay, well, no, I don't want to quit. Great. So let's think about like what it is about the current version of your job you don't like, and see if there's a way that you could like not have to do that anymore, or find a way that you can appreciate that this is something you have to do in order to do the things that you like. And it's not easy, but yeah, again, the people that I really feel sorry for, the people that never find that thing, that are like, I got good grades in high school because I was told I should get good grades in high school, and it made my parents happy. And then I got accepted at a good college because I was told that if I go to a good college, that's the next thing to do. Then didn't really know what to do, but then I took the LSATs and I got good grades on the LSATs. So I went to law school and now I'm a lawyer. Then I got hired in a law firm. I still have no idea what I'm doing. I still have no idea what I want. I do have a good job. I'm paying my bills. I'm keeping myself fed. I fell in love. I had a kid. That's great too. But all I'm doing is there's a big chunk of my life, 8 hours a day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in which I'm just doing things to get a paycheck. And that's difficult.
You know what though? Just because, you know, sorry to start you all off existentially this week, but clearly
To be fair, this was not a really, really heavy news week. So...
No, yeah. So it let us be a little... Also, I should tell you all that Mercury is going into retrograde on April 1st for majority of the month. So it's okay to be a little existential now.
Okay.
You know, kind of prepare us for a wild time coming up. But I just want to end this with saying, I've been thinking about this a lot, about how I hope we can foster that in the next generations to come, to kind of, you know, learn from us, learn from the things that we learned so young. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying, Andy. Just trying to be future facing. Don't forget, we have more content coming at the end of this episode if you are a member of the Relay FM network, BT Dubs. You can go to relay.fm/membership or go to our website at relay.fm/material if you'd like to find out how to become a member of our beautiful podcast network that we call family. It's a family. We're family here. All right. So this week was a really light news week. We have some information about the Pixel 9, which is really confusing, and it might have something to do with why we might not see a mid-range Pixel 8a this year.
Oh,
which
9a maybe
the
next
rumors
year,
are still percolating about. Not, oh, excuse me, 9.8. Well, but I was also reading about the 8a.
Really?
Let's talk about that when it comes to. Then we're going to talk about YouTube testing a couple of new features that are easy to comprehend but kind of odd with the whole rest of the product. Also, apparently, and this one was really weird that I've avoided reading about until our podcast recording. Apparently, some people are complaining about the S Pen on the Galaxy Ultra smelling bad.
So I think even sociologically, this is an interesting story. That's on that basis. It merits a spot in the rundown.
Yeah. And stay tuned because you know what? I'll smell mine from the review unit that I have. And I'll give you a live reaction of what the S Pen really smells like. Where else are you going to get that kind of journalism?
We can, you know, let's just I'm just like going into the show doc and noting I'll smell mine as a possible suggested show title. I mean, you pick the show titles. It's totally up to you, but I'm just making a note of that. So that's a candidate. That's all.
Okay. Lovely. Well, as Andy makes a note of that, we're also going to take a quick little water break. And then when we are back, we will talk about what the heck is going on with the Pixel 9 and the rest of the Pixel series. Well, for those of you who are not perpetually online, like myself, and Andy, because Andy did find this news story, but I also found it. So 91 Mobiles is this website on the internet, okay? They leak things. They've successfully leaked things the last couple of years. They've successfully leaked enough products that most tech sites all the way up to The Verge are now citing them as a source, okay? And so recently, just this week, we got some 5K renders of not one, not two, but three different Pixel 9 devices. Now, this is very confusing, right? Because the last couple of years, in fact, since the first Pixel, we've had exactly two models to choose from. We've had the smaller model and then the bigger model. And then later, the bigger model became the Pro model, the model with a little bit of extra. It didn't really make sense for Google to do a two and two, like a four phone series, mm-hmm. because Google wasn't pushing that many units with the Pixel. But they're starting something different this year.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, so let's talk about this rumor first, and then let's talk about what we were talking about before with the mid-rangers, okay? Because that stuff was really conflicting. So the rumor mill this year is not as clear-cut as last year's, for some reason, or the last couple of years, I should say. I'm kind of finding that, by the way, to be the same deal with the iPhone supply chain, actually. But, you know, it was kind of nice to not have to be on the lookout all the time for these leaks. So thanks for the break, I guess. But yeah, so the Pixel 9 could come in three variants. So we're talking about a possible first tier Pixel 9, and this would be a 6.03-inch display, according to the rumors. A Pixel 9 Pro, which would be still a relatively small phone, a 6.1-inch display, but with all the fixings that you would find in a Pro model. And then a larger Pixel 9 Pro XL, which is hovering around 6.5 inches currently in the rumor mill. And I'm also reading it may be kind of an Ultra, Galaxy Ultra situation, where you've got an extra lens stacked on there. But yeah. That one is kind of murky.
That part was murky. There's a little bit of murkiness. 91 Mobiles did like a couple of sneaks. They had one this week. They had another one last month, or I think maybe it was January. And we said, hey, here's the Pixel 9. Here's the Pixel 9 Pro. Because they were anticipating, like we all do, that there, in the fall, there's going to be a Pixel 9 and a Pixel 9 Pro. In the spring of 2025, there's going to be a 9A, because that's the way that, Google has released these phones for the since for the past 3-4 years. So they have now changed their tune, because now they got information and renders of a sort of 9A looking phone. Okay, so the Pixel, nine, what they're claiming is the Pixel 9 nothing that's going to be also introduced in the fall, seems to fill the same sort of role that the 8A and the 7A and the 6A filled, which is, let's take the flagship version of this phone that we introduced in the fall, let's knock down a few features so we can get the price down to mid-range level. So this, the Pixel 9 Pro and the Pixel 9 Pro XL, both of these renders seem to have three lenses on it. And the camera bar is thick enough to make people suspect that means that the Pixel 9 Pro, like the one in the middle here, will have the exact same sensors, the exact same everything as the Pixel 9 Pro XL. We'll have the periscope telephoto lens, which would be a big change, because normally the Pixel 9 and the Pixel 8 and the Pixel 8 Pro are substantially the same phone in every category except for the camera. I think that I'd have to double check on the price list to see if
in the RAM
and the RAM, right. The RAM. And I think you can get it in a larger, the top of the line. You can also get it in a greater capacity. You can
1 terabyte.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like, so it's substantial. Substantially the same phone and the same experience. The Pixel 8 is, there are a couple of qualitative differences in what's inside this phone to differentiate the two. Whereas if the rumors about this new 9 Pro and the 9 Pro XL are the same, are true, then the 9 Pro is kind of like a small Pro. The XL is the same phone, but bigger. And maybe it'll have more RAM. Maybe it will have like more storage available to it if you're willing to pay the nose for it. But it seems as though they're making a really big cut between the 9 and the 9 Pro pair of phones. And this would also
have more RAM.
Yeah, hopefully. Especially
8 gigs is not enough for all this AI stuff that they want me to do.
Yeah.
Circle to search, you know, and the fact that like Pokemon Go plays when I open the camera in the background. Pokemon Go closes in the background so that I can open the camera app. Sorry, slight side note, but it annoys me.
No, that's absolutely true. And this is the pivot towards AI on every single computer, both like my phone and my desktop, my notebook and everything. It has kind of upended how I shop for my own computers. This is a year where I'm hoping to finally upgrade my 3-year-old Mac Mini. For reasons that would be familiar to people who like are into Mac, I got the first generation Apple Silicon Mac Mini, and that was definitely a first generation product. I've been using my first generation Mac Pro as my desktop, and always anticipating that at some point in the near future after that, I was going to get a Mac Mini once the Apple Silicon CPUs have matured. And so I've been putting it off, like waiting for that. Every year when Apple updates the Mac Minis, it's like, but this one still can't do that. And I'd want one that could do that. So I'm going to wait a little bit. I'm glad I held off, because now I know for sure that whether I'm buying a phone or a desktop or a laptop, all this AI features, this desire to make sure that there's a chock-a-block of features that work on AI and also work not through the cloud, but with an AI model on device, means that I do not want to sacrifice system RAM. If I have to like get less onboard storage in order to get the maximum amount of RAM that I can possibly afford for this device, I'm going to do that. And usually I'm going to get a good amount of RAM, But the thing is, since you can't upgrade either of them, I don't want to have to attach like an external Thunderbolt SSD to this and have that as my main storage. Now I'm like, yeah, but the thing is, if I don't, at least I can add Thunderbolt storage later on with RAM. It's the I think that's the difference between buying 8 and 16 gigs of system memory is going to be the difference between a phone or a desktop that is still perfectly viable for 5, 6, 7, even 8 years, and one where after 3 years you're like, oh gosh, I wish my phone could do that, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I wish my phone. Yeah, that's what I say about having the Pixel 8 every day instead of the Pixel 8 Pro.
Yeah, I mean that bums you out. So, but getting back to the lineup. So the other part of this rumor is that, so you might be asking, what about the Pixel 9a? So the other component of this, which is not part of like the reporting that 91 Mobiles did, is that it means that next spring there will not be a Pixel 9a. And that actually hooks up with, I actually found this out through 9to5 Google. It reminded me that 2 years ago, there was in 2002, there was a leaked version of Google's roadmap for the Pixel. And when we talk about roadmaps, we're not talking about like a marketing plan. We're talking about everybody who's in the Pixel division.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Everybody who's in the Pixel division like knows like what they're working towards. Like, in 2 years we're going to have the Tensor chips, and so the Pixel 6 is going to be a phone that has AI features. And then a year after that, we're going to do the Pixel 7. It's going to have this, this, and this. We're going to have this model that does that. And so that document in 2022 predicted that in 2025 or 2024. 2025, that Google is going to switch to every other year for releasing Pixel A phones. So there will be, so if this is true, there will be no Pixel 9A in 2025, but there will be a Pixel 10A in 2026. And again, the thing is, even if this roadmap was 100% genuine, and actually it has been very accurate so far, people who've been following it, it doesn't mean that that Google has not changed their plans in the last 2 years. But nonetheless, it does lend credence to this idea that that they've changed their schedule for releasing phones and decided that the Pixel integer nothing is now going to be the bottom of the line, maybe not necessarily a mid-range price phone, but certainly expected to be not really like prestige priced phone. And they're going to do away with 9A, at least for the next couple of years anyway. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, I should also note, so I guess Samsung isn't bringing the A55, they're not bringing that A-series phone to the US this year, which is interesting. So it's making me think that maybe they're not finding the justification.
Yeah, I talked about that last week. Where it's interesting that usually in their A series they have an expensive version and a cheaper version. We get they decided to flip that for the US, and now we get the version that we normally don't get, but we can't get the version we normally get. So that's like I think that there have been a lot of like that plus the price increases that Google has been making on the A series. By the way, that roadmap also predicted the $50 price increase that we're expecting to see on the 8A. I think that kind of reflects that the economy range phones are now really, really nicely set, and it's really, really hard to compete with. You can't compete with a really good $250 phone with a $450 phone. Because now the Motorola's Motorola and Samsung's phones are less than $300. Are really superb for anybody who's not interested in like a Halo phone, like not interested in like a prestige sort of level phone. And so it's kind of, I think they figure that it's hard to get people interested in spending an extra $150 for one that's materially better, but not revolutionary better. And that's better. They're better off going to like mid-range and high mid-range, where they can sort of convince more people in the budget range to enter into the next tier of hardware. At least that's the way it looks like to me.
Yeah, I, you know, it's going to be really weird if they release three phones. It's really it's really going to shake me up. I'm realizing because we've had such consistency for so long.
Yeah.
There's a couple other predictions that have been floating around about the Pixel 9 that we should talk about. I imagine, I mean, I hope that this means that this is coming for the rest of the Android subset. Qi2 charging, which I know is a big thing overseas. It's now being put into accessories. Magnets.
Yeah, that's
MagSafe.
Yeah, I know that I'm supposed to be more excited about the fact that it'll charge my phone faster. But to the idea that like I can have one of those stands where just click, it just grabs it and puts it in the right orientation and it holds it. And also accessories where I can just have a case that again just click, just holds on to it normally.
Oh,
and
I love it.
And expanded batteries that again just like click. Like I still miss my Samsung Galaxy S3 and the ability to just pop off. Like when I'm at one of those conferences that we used to
go to,
let's pop off the, shut it down, pop off the back, switch out battery packs, click, click. No, I can't drop it down the toilet, but the fact that I can have it running, like I'll have a Chewbacca style bandolier of batteries and be able to run it from like 7 a.m. until 2 a.m. That was worth my deciding. You know what? I think I'm going to try very hard not to drop it in the toilet.
We really gave up batteries so that we could drop our phones in the toilet. Yep. Like when you think about it.
And I hope
all of you have a fun time thinking about that as you go to sleep tonight.
Well, and to be fair, like the battery technology, both the technology of the batteries themselves and power management on Android in particular got good enough that it went from being able to swap out batteries came from something that I might not have been willing to give up to something where, oh, it's an inconvenience under certain circumstances to have to like pull out a battery bank as opposed to, you know, click, click, I'm done. I'm fully recharged again. But yeah, I have certainly had circumstances where, I try to take good care of my phones. I try not to like dunk them in water if I can.
Of course,
but nonetheless, accidents happen and life happens. I'm sure that the way that phones are made today I've survived things that would have absolutely clobbered my S3. No question about it.
Remember when phones could last a 4-story drop? One of mine did. The other prediction is a pretty obvious one. Tensor 4 CPU would be in this. But other than that, it really feels like, oh, by the way, the Pixel 6a is no longer on sale at the Google store. So it does feel like the 8a is imminent with this year's Google I/O, which also got announced last week, I know. Mm-hmm. That was last week's news, but in case anybody is curious, I'm already registered.
Good.
So don't worry. I'm already planning on being there. So yes, you will hear it from our boots on the ground. I don't know. Okay. Let's get to another actually bit of news that actually affects Pixel people who have Pixel phones right now.
I was so happy about this.
If you are on a Pixel... Yes, if you're on a Pixel 6 or 7, as Andy is on the Pixel 6 Pro, you can expect Circle to Search to be rolling out to your Pixel device this month. We've still got like a couple more days left in this month. Yes. So look forward to that. Google also announced, by the way, that Circle to Search can now translate text, which is fine. Which is good for like, you know, maybe some quick translations if you see something on the screen and you want to figure out what, you know, a song lyric caption is in Spanish. That's like a thing I would use it for. Yeah. I should also note, by the way, that Samsung also announced that they were going to bring Circle to Search to a couple of other devices. So the Z Flip, the Fold, the fifth gen, they're getting the Circle to Search update as well as last year's Galaxy S23 series. But that's it. So it looks like it's still pretty much limited to like the flagships.
Yeah.
The mid-rangers aren't getting this capability. It's not exactly one that is easy on the hardware.
Right.
Like just thinking about how it works.
Yeah, there's another example of like the AI divide where it really is going to be a line of demarcation for a lot of devices where it's not as though like my Pixel 6 would have been obsolete. However, like there's that with all phones, like, isn't there always that moment where the first time that you see a really cool announcement about a really cool feature with the new version of iOS or Android, like, oh, wow, that's great, because you were always excited about these new, oh, but it's not available for my phone yet. Okay. But I'm still going to get the new version of the OS. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But unfortunately, your phone will be reduced to six. Your camera can only take pictures in 16 colors. You'll be able to choose with the 16 colors, of course, but you will only be able to. Oh, God. That now I feel like I'm being herded towards the store to make another purchase. And my Pixel 6 is going to be like 3 years old. Like at the end, it's going to have its third birthday at the end of this year. And so it's not as though ideally, in a perfect world, I get 5 years out of a phone. However, 3 years is like the point at which I can justify replacing it if I am if I'm well motivated. Like if there's something that is just amazing about the Pixel 6 or about this year's iPhone that makes me think. Like if there were a foldable phone that is IP68 water and dust resistant, had the same camera as like the best phone in the lineup, and was as affordable as whichever phone I would have bought plus let's say 10 or 20%, then I might have said, yeah, you know what, my Pixel 6 Pro is still working fine, but I've always wanted one of these, and yeah, I feel as though I could make good use out of this. But yeah, I don't want my phone. My phone is on my table right now. Don't worry, Pixel 6. You're still loved. You're still an important part of the journey.
To bring up that I sometimes bring the Z Fold 5 into the shower so I can read. Listen. I hate taking showers. I hate them. I love the end result of being clean and having the freshly blown out hair, and you know, like having like the post shower is amazing. But everything leading up to that, I hate it. I hate bathing myself. It's busy work. It's stupid busy work that I hate doing. And so what I do is I prolong it by wasting precious California water and standing underneath the shower and reading. I know. Anyway, if you have comments about my water use, feel free to email thematerialpodcast@gmail.com. Andy will be fielding those for me. Thank you so much, Andy, for taking on that emotional labor.
I will also be screening them for ungentlemanly and unladylike commentary.
Thank you.
They will not reach Flo. I will scold you. I promise you. I will scold you for having made such comments. So just watch it. I'm trusting you, but I'm just saying.
Let's not scold ourselves, because we're about to go in for a water break. And when we're back, we'll have more to talk about. Well, YouTube wants to figure out how it can market AI on its platform. And it's starting with a new feature called Jump Ahead. Yes. Yes. Now, Jump Ahead, it sounds exactly like what you think it does. So okay, so first of all, I should tell you that YouTube is describing it as a very small experiment in the United States, and it only works with certain videos. So now you already know that the YouTube player can skip forward. You can take it to like different chapter marks. It works like, remember the DVD players of yore? Yeah, it works just like that. But this one, what it does is it, quote, combines user watch behavior data with AI to help identify the next best point a viewer typically wants to skip ahead to. Okay, so the feature apparently works with what YouTube describes as eligible videos. So they don't explain what that means, but if this is anything like the YouTube TV March Madness, the multi-view feature that came out recently, I'm assuming that they can only do it with certain content because of the way that it has to be. Like it's just a really big computational thing to undertake. And this is very clearly a test of something.
Yeah. I should say this wasn't like a blog post, or this wasn't like an announcement or anything like that. They have a special channel for creators the Creator Insider channel that is in itself kind of experimental, in which they talk directly to creators about like things that they're thinking about and things that YouTube is working on. And I actually had to watch this video and take notes from the captions to get these quotes out of there.
Bless you for watching it.
yeah, it wasn't very long. And then honestly, the presenter, which was just a guy at a desk behind a microphone, like he was almost apologetic when he described it as a very small experiment in the US. So I think that he was trying to say this is something that we're thinking of, and maybe you will. A lot of this has to be like interpretation of what they actually meant, like this, including like eligible videos or eligible segments. I don't know whether it was, as you say, computational, where they're trying to reduce the AI computation load, or whether it's going to be an opt-in sort of thing, because I could see creators thinking, oh, great. So I spent all this time and effort and money, because I pay editors, to produce this beautifully laid out 18-minute video in which I'm telling a story with a beginning and a middle and an end, and you're going to let people just skip over 3 seconds of nothing. I'm bored. Click. Now, I'll absolutely support this in like recipe videos, where I really just want to know like how long should I like have that potato in the instant pot, and should I put the spices in at the beginning, or should I put them in like in the final bake at the very, very end? I don't need to I don't need you to preface it with 10 minutes story about your gap year in Tuscany and falling in love, but not really falling in love. But it wasn't Ernesto I fell in love with. At the end of the summer, I realized that the person I really fell in love with and found my life partner with was me. Anyway, so you want to get some russet potatoes. Now, here's how it's like. Okay, I really just want to know how long is the cook time for this? As content creators ourselves, I hate that word, but you know, it's like this is why
I make content, when you consume it
again, I'm not very content with it. But like, anyway, when the Arc browser, which is a great browser with a lot of like modern forward-looking ideas, yeah, and it's very, very relevant to how people use web browsers today. But they recently introduced a feature where, hey, why read that entire blog post when you can just like click this button and AI will automatically summarize it? Like, no, don't do that. I took the time to at least like at the very, very top, like explain what this thing contains, and I used like the H2 tag to make sure that like there are like little markers to show you like how you're progressing through this. I try not to spend 4,000 words explaining something I could explain in 1,000 words, but I will not take 800 words if it needs 1,000 words. It's like, I feel disrespected by technology like that. And I could imagine a YouTube creator thinking that, oh, so essentially what you're doing is you're encouraging people, your AI algorithm figures that people rarely want to listen to an ad. So they can always just click a button, and wherever the end of the ad is, you will calculate it, and you will be able to skip all over it. So nobody will use my offer code. No, and I will never be able to get like another ad buy like that again. And this will always be not even a side hustle. This will be a hobby for me. Thank you very much, Google AI.
Well, but I could see YouTube spinning this to say this is how we'll give you better metrics about what people are viewing on, sure, your channel, what's keeping them on there. You know, this is using AI to get these stats that'll encourage people to keep creating, because YouTube is nothing without all of that user generated content. And so I imagine them introducing something that would hurt their revenue streams would upset them to the point that YouTube, yeah, would say, you know, maybe we're not going to do this. So I can already imagine how they might try to spin this. Again, this is all my own conjecture. I don't know anything about this business. I do know that this is a experimental feature for premium users. So if you're one of those YouTube premium users, which by the way, if you're not, you should really consider budgeting for it, because watching YouTube without ads is like, it makes me want to stay on YouTube. Like, I only go to YouTube for music videos, you know, because I'm old, mm-hmm, school. I like music videos when I listen to music, you know, not YouTube music, but I like music videos. and it's so nice without having to watch an ad from publications that spread misinformation.
Yes.
Like the Epoch Times. So
yeah, it's really like they're the I have to kind of force myself to open up the browser that I maintain that's not logged into anything, and like make sure that I remind myself what it's like to watch YouTube when it's not YouTube Premium, when you get all the ads.
Andy, just, you haven't been good today. You need to go watch the YouTube. You need to go watch the unpaid for YouTube account to punish yourself for not doing your laundry.
You do either 20 Hail Marys, two Stations of the Cross, or you can watch 20 minutes of YouTube with ads.
Oh God!
But Premium is so worth it. I had a I'll go off on a sidetrack for just a second here, where I've never really paid attention to like free YouTube video, free movies on YouTube, because of two reasons. Number one, all movies are free on YouTube, usually because they've been uploaded illegally. Number two, like these recommendations, they kind of like there is no like place to go. Like there's not, and all the different sections on the left hand side of the web viewer, where it says, hey, here's history, here's watch later, here's your subscriptions, here's your list. Like it doesn't feel like there's like, hey, here is that magical place where all like thousands and thousands and thousands of commercial movies that you've heard of and would like to see are here available for you to watch for free. And so it never really clicked in my mind as part of the package of YouTube Premium until like just kind of by accident, I was looking for a documentary that's kind of obscure. And so it qualifies for a couple of things in my ledger book. Number one, it's possible that somebody who is a fan of the film might have uploaded it to YouTube, and because it might have been abandoned by the creator, it's not been like content matched or taken down. And would also mean if it's been like sort of abandoned by the creator, it would mean that okay, I can actually watch it on YouTube and not feel guilty about it, not feel like a pirate, because at least this thing is still being viewed. And I found that, well, I'll be darned, it's actually like on free YouTube, so it's not like a VHS that's been like badly transferred, and it's the Portuguese version. I have to read English subtitles on it. It's actually like the full HD version of it. And that came to, it's like, oh wow, they've got Ghostbusters and they've got all these classic films and like new films that it's not like all public domain, like Ed Wood movies that have been parodied on Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's like a lot of the stuff I've got on my own home media server is available through like free YouTube movies. So it kind of made me wonder if I shouldn't like do a deeper dive and to make some playlists there. Last comment on this is that it's also like kind of necessary because my NAS, my Synology network attached storage, is kind of long in the tooth at this point. And I know that only because it records the Colbert Show every single night. And then after that, like I can't really stream anything because it's spending the next half hour to an hour. The CPU is totally tied up trying to locate the commercials in it and mark them and all that kind of stuff. And so there are times where it's late at night, and I want to actually watch a movie, but I can't because my NAS is tied up with this other background process, be it looking for commercials or just reorganizing a directory. And there have been times since I made that realization that, okay, well, I guess I'll see if that movie that I wanted to see is okay, it's on YouTube. So, okay, I guess I'll watch the Barkley Marathons on YouTube instead of watching it from my server because I can actually access YouTube. So yes, that buying I actually find like the package of services I get, I think it's through Google One, YouTube Premium. That's probably the most way more valuable package than the package I get from Apple for similar sort of stuff. The Apple package is even more expensive.
Don't let them hear you, because you know the rumors are saying that they're trying to really sweeten the deal for their peeps.
Maybe I can set them both against each other. Which wouldn't be hard because they're already against each other. They're just
Rock'em Sock'em. I was trying to come up, but anyway, that didn't land very well. Should we talk about this smelly S Pen?
Yes, let's start off by asking why. What is it in the dialogicist of Samsung Ultra users that says, I'm going to just hold that stylus pen right up to the old hooter and then just give it a big old sniff.
Oh, you know why? You know why?
Why?
This is why.
Oh, the S Pen mustache.
Oh, it does smell.
Dear listener, I'm going to create the picture of the theater of the air. She is clamping the pen between her upper lip and her nose as though she were like a background character in a 1930s or 1940s movie, but like a John Waters mustache, but imagine it being a lot wider and not as crisp. So what does it smell like?
It's okay. Let me read you the news story. Hold on. So because I will confirm to you that it does smell like exactly what people are describing. So S24 Ultra owners, they've been on Reddit, as you know, this is where all people go to complain besides the next door. And they're asking, do all S Pens smell funny or is it just mine? And some people said a very burnt and plastic smell, an electric mixer that's turned on, but the beaters are jammed up and can't turn, so the motor's overheating. And I'm going to tell, okay, and 9to5 Google said it's similar to the smell of the rubbery mulch used on playgrounds, also compared to a Sharpie marker or burning plastic. And I will confirm to you that it does smell like burning plastic. It smells like, well, I did one of my fingernails while Andy was talking.
Okay.
So there's no polish on, sorry. I had to fix a top coat situation.
Nope. Again, you
made. But it smells like burning, and I know burning computers because I've been around them all my life. Like I've been building these things and taking them apart, so I know what a burnt
right
computer part smells like. Yeah, it totally smells like that, and I wonder if it's because it's living. Here's the other thing, okay? So Samsung never got back to me about this, actually. I ended up clocking some really high temperatures on the S24 Ultra while streaming some video. And I had sent a query to Samsung about it. And I asked them, I said, hey, just wanted to show you this video where my kitchen, I have, you know, one of those kitchen meat thermometers that, shoot at the surface and it tells you the temperature. And I was getting readings of like 100 degrees Fahrenheit, which is ridiculously hot. Usually phones are around 70, 80 on the inside. And that's why you're not feeling it on the outside. But you could clearly feel the heat picking up the device without a case. But I've since put a case on the Ultra, so I haven't really been paying attention to the heat. It could very well be, now this is just conjecture, again, anecdotal conjecture. It could very well be that the S Pen is being incinerated inside the chassis of the S20. I mean, that has to be what's going on. It must be getting so hot in there. Plus it's titanium.
Yeah. You know, this could be twisted around as a feature. Like, okay, so you take out the S Pen, okay?
Take a feature. Okay.
Okay. Let's say that you're eating like Pocky or like one of those really, really, really skinny breadsticks that are like crackers. You can like put it in there and it could be like a little toaster oven to like get it nice and warm. So like melt the cheese core inside it. And then when you take it out, it's like a very, very tiny loaf of French bread.
I wish I thought to go grab because I have Pocky in the cupboard right now, but. I know, so we could. But the thing is, if Samsung knows that I stuffed a Pocky into their review unit for a bit, that could get me in trouble. So I'm gonna, out of respect for the something that's not mine.
Well, I appreciate that. And that's also the reason why you wouldn't use the one that's already dipped in chocolate. However, like I would not be pleased with myself that I'd broken like a $2,000 review loaner like that. But I feel as though in my situation, I would feel like the only defense would be a good offense and saying that, well, and then copy paste forward. Like I did like file an official request like a month ago asking about temperature problems that I was kind of investigating. I did not get a response. And so therefore I was forced to pursue this in my own direction. Now, if I thought this was a suitable test to determine how deeply these temperature changes go by trying to see what are the scorch marks on this bit of pocky, like where do they actually locate, maybe you could have avoided this by actually responding to my request. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that either of us is wrong here. I'm just saying this is something that's happened. Let's move past this. Sorry about the chocolate inside the hinge.
By the way, I just want everybody to know that when I was a very, very little girl, for some reason, I gave my NES juice. And I poured it inside where the cartridge goes.
Yeah.
I had a very sticky NES for a long time. Thankfully, it still worked after that. Samsung, I'm not doing that. Thing.
All current and future generations, or excuse me, like maybe not millennials, but definitely Gen beyond, will never know like being in trouble because of you're 3 or 4 years old. Of course, you put like one of the waffles coated with syrup for breakfast, like inside the VCR because it had that slot and a big slot you just stuff things into.
Yes,
and I guess Dad's not going to be able to watch his tape at the Super Bowl this until he goes back to Best Buy. So Ars Technica did reach out to Samsung about this, and some unlucky stiff in PR did have to craft an official statement, quote, "This isn't anything to be concerned about. While the S Pen is in its holster, it is close to the internal components of the phone, which will generate heat while in use and cause the plastic to heat up. This can smell like burning, but it's similar to the smell you might experience after leaving your car in the sun for a few hours. The seats and plastic fittings in the vehicle might smell hot, but this will diminish after it cools."
Okay, so my car doesn't smell like this, and I've had my car since 2008. So the fact that my 15-year-old car, or however old it is not smelling like that, I'm just saying. I should also note, Samsung, hold on. I should also note, Samsung, that you did have exploding batteries on the Galaxy Note 7. And so talking about the incineration of things in the inside of your chassis, I don't know if that's very good for the public relations situation here.
And let's not forget that this was also, you traditionally, you seem to not put enough thought into something as simple as the mechanical fit and finish of the S Pen. Again, it's a technological marvel. It's amazing this tiny, tiny little thing can be like an actual like Apple Pencil type stylus. However, let's remember, was the last version of the Note where it was possible to put it in backwards instead, like the back end first, at which point it would get irretrievably stuck because it would just like get caught on some sort of a latch inside there. And it seems like the sort of thing that you would try to test for before you actually go into manufacturing. So I think the bigger issue is like, even if like they can legitimately say, oh, well, I mean, you know what it is, if you've got inside a case and you've been watching like videos and like playing games, but really, really stressing the CPU, it's going to get kind of warm in there. And there's a plastic coating on there. It doesn't hurt the plastic, but I suppose if you were to pull out the pencil and then put it right under your nose, you might smell like heated plastic. I mean, what are you going to expect? This is like the Ultra is an immense, it costs as much as a mid-range like laptop. And so you don't want, at that price, you don't want any surprises like this. You don't want anything that makes you unhappy that you figure they should have anticipated. So I could see how people might be a little alarmed because it's also going to make them think, well, how hot is that thing getting? As part of that Reddit thread, people who had the predecessor of the Ultra which used the stylus, the Notes, report that, well, this didn't happen with a Note. It was, again, only when the Note 7 actually combusted did the pen actually smell like melted plastic. But there was a very, very good and rational reason for that,
because the Note was a very, very different architecture. Like back then, it was. I mean, you guys, these phones are really powerful. I don't think you understand like what Qualcomm has done to the chip inside. I mean, yes, you do understand. That's why you listen to this podcast. I'm sorry. I'm not talking down to you. But for those of you who are skeptics, I should say, you know, remember, this is this is a shrunken down motherboard here. So there's a lot of heat generating inside this thing. And the titanium case, like that's, it's not something we would have thought about with the iPhone because the iPhone doesn't have a stylus embedded inside of it. Also, the iPhone, by the way, is not fully titanium. The iPhone is a titanium frame.
Yeah.
So
it's actually a layer. It still has I think it's a layer of titanium over steel. So yeah, it's like,
so it has kind of a different situation with heat dissipation. You know what Samsung needs to do is they really need to take us into there. Like, if you want to do some good PR, let me give you free consultation right now, okay? For everybody, invite us to your labs where you test the heat dissipation, because I want to know how hot does it get in anyway. Something to think about. If you want to invite me, I would love to come to Korea and see that. I will even pay my own way. Okay. On that note, we're going to start wrapping this up. Andy, it was really good to come back and restretch this muscle with you. Before Andy and I started the show today, before we started recording, I told him about, oh my God, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. Because if we don't do the if Andy's doing a solo, it means I haven't seen Andy on camera, and it's disorienting.
Yep.
Sorry, yeah.
It's these metronomes of the week that keep us happy. I mean, yeah. Human beings, it's like when my favorite diner went out of business, like closed for COVID, and like I stopped like going for breakfast every Tuesday. It's like, oh, well, okay, it's Tuesday. Oh, no, I don't do that on Tuesday anymore. Oh, nothing makes sense anymore. But yes, I definitely missed you. I'm sure the listeners missed you as well. So we're all glad you're back.
Well, thank you so much for holding it down, Andy, yet again. And thank you to our editor, Jim, for also your flexibility and for just making us sound good every single week. If you love our show, you can actually help support us and everything we do here at the Relay FM Network over at relay.fm/material. You can sign up for a membership. You can look at all of our past show notes. You can find links to where we exist on the web. We do have our Twitter profiles up there, but don't look for us over there.
Yeah.
So I'm speaking for you, Andy. Nope, I'm sorry. Look for me over there.
I've made no like declaration of independence from Twitter/X. All there is like a pinned post that strongly implies that here's where you can find me elsewhere from Twitter. The thing is that Anatko is not a common word, but there are other Anatkos out there, and I feel as though if I shut down the account, someone else would have it. Plus, for God's sakes, it has like 15 years of my like regular like little postings. I kind of like want them to be there.
And then it's going to be fed into an AI machine for Elon to. Sorry, this God, is not a Twitter podcast. Thank God.
That poor AI that has to be trained on my content.
Your content. Oh my God. I was still in college when I was posting on Twitter. Okay. Thank you guys. See, if you love us, go to relay.fm/material if you want more of this banter, because after we sign off coming up, we are talking a little bit more for our members. So stay tuned for that. That's all for this week. Andy, do you have anything you'd like to leave us with as a plug?
Yep. If you go to wgbhnews.org, you'll probably, by the time you hear this podcast, you can also hear me talking about tech on Boston WGBH NPR. And we're going to be talking about a couple of Google things, a couple of Apple things. We'll be filling up a good 20, 30 minutes.
Perfect. I love that I can say my podcast partner is on NPR.
I will say that it's nice.
Listen, I'm a let me be a tabloid journalist about my friends. Okay. Okay. Let me stretch.
You can be whatever you want. I'm saying is that as a freelance journalist, all my entire career, my parents have been gone for 10 years, but I still like really appreciate those gigs that I have, that my mom would have A, absolutely understood what my job is, and B, like, oh, NPR, WGB, oh.
Yeah.
It's because I won't speak for everyone and their parents, but it's like my parents, I think, were like very, very typical parents where it's like, or sorry, I had great parents in which like, oh, our boy wants to be a self-employed journalist, a self-employed writer. It's like, okay, we're going to be supportive of him, but oh my God, are we going to worry every day and every night? And so it was how much of a relief it was to them where like, okay, well, A, I'm not sleeping like in a box. I am actually like supporting myself, but also, hey, look, here's a book that I just recently published. I'm giving you a copy here and you can also go onto Amazon and see how well it's selling because, hey, look, it's an actual job that I'm actually doing. I'm not lying about being a drug runner or something like this or selling plasma. It's... So oh, yes, that, on that plasma. On that basis, being on WGBH would have pleased my mom a lot.
Well, thank you so much, Andy, for being here. And as for my job, I'm at gizmodo.com, but I would urge you, if you love listening to us, I think you will also love my Discord community. So please head over to my website, florenceion.com. You will see a link for Discord on there. Go ahead and join us. We're a nice little community. I've been a little dormant on there, but just want to let everybody know I've been thinking about them. And if you want to come join our community, it's a fun and safe place. So please come join us.
Lovely.
That's it for this week, I think, Andy.
I think so.
I think that's it for us this week. Well, thanks so much for listening to us, everybody. We hope that you had... Hope that you enjoyed us because we enjoyed doing this for you. So until next week, we hope you have a happy, safe, and healthy 7 days. Bye-bye.
And to those who observe, here comes Peter Cottontail, up and down the bunny trail, hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Okay, I don't know what the next verse of that is, but hey, have a hobby.